Welcome to Co-Creating Now with Monica Goyle. Monica is a spiritual counselor and healer with a life purpose to put people in touch with their innate healing abilities, empowering them to live a life full of joy, love, peace, and abundance. Through this show, you'll learn to heal every aspect of your life by connecting to your higher self. And now your host, Monica Goyle, on the OM Times Radio Network.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, namaste, wherever you are. Hope you are having a wonderful day. I welcome you to the show. Thank you so much. So grateful for you to joining us every Tuesday morning. And today we have a very special guest who will be talking about overcoming fear. Because I think all of us have so many different kinds of fears. Fear of heights, fear of flying, fear of being in an elevator or a closed space, fear of people, fear of animals, fear of death. The list is endless. And we all know how it feels when we have that fear. So Smita today will be talking about that. She is a wonderful teacher. She helps all these new age children, the indigo, crystal, rainbow children, so much by her service each and every day. She's an artist. She has a PhD in art education with over 20 years of work done with nonprofits and children. But she especially loves working with kids because that helps her connect to her inner child, as we all know how that feels. And today she will be helping us. She will be guiding us on how to overcome these fears that we have, giving us very practical tools. But let's welcome her to the show. I'm very grateful to her. Hi, Smita.
Hi, Monica.
Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to have you here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Great. So, Smita, tell us about yourself. Tell us about your journey. Tell us how you got into this.
Okay. So, ever since I was a small child, I had a very strong awareness. I have a photographic memory, so I have memories from the child.
Baby. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And those are very vivid memories, and to have these memories. But on talking to people and friends, and they thought it was really odd that I remembered, you know, things from the but along with very heightened sensitivity, to this day, if I pass by a house, I can kind of smell what is cooking in the house, like the sensitivity to smell, to sounds. Even if there are things that people would say, I would really sort of be affected by it. Mm-hmm. So growing up, I was always told, oh, you're oversensitive. And I always took it as something negative in me, but it took me some time in that sensitivity. So that was one, and the body experiences I had from.
So tell us about it. What exactly happened? And
with the outer body experiences?
Yeah.
So what I would feel would be that almost in a semi-asleep state, you know, I would, or sometimes I was on my own, sometimes like I was out of the body, and I would feel like I'm going up the walls and going up the doors, and I could actually feel myself literally flying.
Wow.
And I, what to make of it, because I thought it was really odd.
You were scared?
No, actually, scared me. It made me feel very free. But I talking about these kind of experiences. I didn't hear any of the grown-ups talking about them. I just thought it was something odd.
Mm-hmm. So you never discussed it with anyone?
No, I
did not. I can totally relate with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's with all this heightened sensitivity, all this. And so I would say that it was a beautiful childhood. I was very loved. I am very fortunate to have a very, very loving family.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, this strangeness about me that I was very aware of and didn't know what to do about.
It can be scary. Yeah. And what were like some other events that happened in your life that made you aware that you were more than this physical body and, you know, there was something beyond it?
So, you know, as I was growing up, there were certain events that happened which kind of left a mark on me.
Mm-hmm.
And each of those events had to do with the death.
Okay, can you tell us about
that? Yeah, sure. So when I was about 3 or 4 years old, my great-grandfather died.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in a different city, and he died in a different city. But I remember my father telling me, that
he passed away.
And I said, well, where did he go? And my father said, well, you know, we pray to gods every day. So he went to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, oh, there's so many gods we pray to, you know.
Yeah, especially, you know, in Hinduism, there are so many different deities and
exactly
so many different names. So which god did he go to?
It's an easy answer for me because I knew that a follower of Hanuman.
Uh-huh.
and I had a feeling that, you know, so but you know, doing a namaste to all the gods and mm-hmm. just him because now he's with you. So you know, I have a few memories of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was 16, my great grandmother passed away.
Uh-huh.
Now my great grandmother was on me.
Yeah.
She, you know, at 16, you have a lot of memories with a person. And she, I have so many memories of her. So her passing away was really, really a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I spent almost every day of my life with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember she had fallen sick. It all happened very quickly. She was hospitalized. I went and saw her every day. And one day I couldn't go because I had an exam the next day. Mm-hmm. And that was the day she passed away. And just the feeling that, wow, how could I miss not going to see her, you know? So I struggled with it.
Yeah.
And then for the first time in my life to see a body mm-hmm. of loved one, a dead body, it just was a very
traumatic
experience.
Mm-hmm.
And as the body lay in our living room, you know, even to go in the living room, I kept feeling like this body will sit up any moment and will start talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that happened was, it was just a coincidence that because there were so many relatives in the house when she passed away, you know, people came to mm-hmm. basically her funeral. I had no other place to sleep but in her bed. One night, I was in her bed and just kind of in the strange, you know.
Yeah. Did you have any dreams or, you know, any thoughts? I'm sure you were afraid.
Also, and just strange feeling like, where did she go? What? You know, I kept remembering how she was kind of a, she was a kind of a plump woman. So every time would be a very warm, loving, cushiony kind of embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to miss that. So it was a very, so that was kind of stayed with me to this.
Yeah.
Her passing.
That was the time when you became about your own aware about your own fear of death?
Yeah, I would say where I started to become aware of the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And but it wasn't until I was 21 when my aunt and uncle, who again I was very close to, my mother's older sister and mm-hmm. her husband,
mm-hmm.
parents to me. And they were traveling from another city to our house, and I was really awaiting, you know, their arrival because it always made me very happy to see them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come. And what mm-hmm. came was a phone call saying that they met with an accident mm-hmm. on their way to our house.
Mm-hmm.
And they both of them passed away in the accident. It was really, really shocking.
We will come back after a short break. Please stay with us.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Simone Milicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
And we are back with Smita. Hi, Smita.
Hi, Monica.
Yeah, so you were talking about the accident that happened and the news that came.
Yeah.
So how did it affect you at that time? I'm sure it was very traumatic, but did it bring more questions?
Actually, yeah. I became more aware of how I was feeling. What happened was you know, when their bodies arrived at our house, it was just awful.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. then the bodies had to be there for 2 days or 3 days until, you know, all their children came. The, mm-hmm. The children lived in the U.S., so it took them a while to arrive
yeah.
in India. And all that time, we were seeing the bodies in front of us. And to some extent, whatever shock they experienced in the accident actually showed on the face
yeah.
of the bodies.
Yeah.
So
that pain. Just,
yes, yeah. yes. But the only thing I would say that gave any relief mm-hmm. to all of us, you know, was the fact that the doctor said that they passed away almost instantaneously because of the impact of the accident.
So they didn't have to suffer much. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I became more and more aware of this really numb and cold feeling inside me, like totally numb. And
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot of pain, but then it was a very strange, cold, almost freezing kind of feeling.
It was almost like you cut yourself because you don't want to feel that pain.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was something that just, it stayed with me for a long time, like mm-hmm. many, many years, just watching all that. And then to feel that sense of loss, like mm-hmm. it was really deep, poignant loss because I had spent so much time with them, growing up with them and with them being like a second set of parents to me.
And all of a sudden they are gone. All of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just awful.
Yeah.
And then the next thing that happened was when I was 23, I got married, and 8 months after I got married, my mother-in-law passed away, and she was very young. She was only 45, which is how old I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to rush from the US to India, and the same thing, you know, I see her body and I grow.
So a lot of incidents happened around that.
Yes.
And every time it was, I mean, it was almost like there were young deaths.
Yes.
And like sudden.
Untimely,
like not
sudden.
Expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And.
So start questioning life.
Yes.
You know, what this life is all about.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to kind of, as a daughter-in-law, in the culture that I've grown up in, you have to do certain things.
Right.
You know, you have to cleanse the body. You have to dress it up, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember my hands shaking and, you know,
yeah.
it was a very hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened. And, you know, again, the same numb, cold feeling inside me and just, you know, when I came back to the U.S., I could not sleep. I mm-hmm. could not stay in the house all by myself. I heard my mother-in-law's voice. I had some prayers done, but, you know, nothing was helping because there was so much restlessness inside.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I started to keep myself busy doing more volunteer work and, mm-hmm. you know. And then I found a friend. We lived in a very small town in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a friend who worked with me on some new music projects.
Okay.
And he was a very sensitive soul. Both my husband and I became good friends with him. And mm-hmm. he became one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we would work a lot on these projects. And then in 1995... we moved from South Carolina to Illinois
wow. mm-hmm.
because my husband changed jobs and I started school, graduate school in Illinois. And I didn't know what went on with the friend when we left South Carolina, but apparently he was going through some crisis. And I remember in, you know, some point in late 1995, or maybe it was 1996, I can't quite remember now, that he called me. You know, we would talk often, but then this one call was really interesting because he was on the phone for almost 2 hours with me. And he said, yeah, you know, I really want to come and visit you guys and I miss you guys. And he told me about how things were going really well for him. And and it was a really wonderful call. But I was wondering that why is it that, you know, he wants to talk so much? And little did I know that that would be the last time I would talk to him because a week later he killed himself. And that was his goodbye call.
Oh, my God. Yes. So he didn't tell you anything?
No, no.
But he wanted to talk to you before he left?
Yes.
That is very hard.
Yes. And it happened, I would say, about a year, year and a half after my mother-in-law died. And
so you got really close to this person who was a very good friend.
Yes.
But never shared what was going on, and all of a sudden you lose.
I knew a little bit about his background, that his mother had passed away when he was very young, his father had remarried, and the stepmother had never really accepted him. And
but
so
like
he,
nothing that was but going
nothing
on.
That was going on. I thought he had it all put together. You know, he was he was very close to finishing his PhD. He was about to submit his thesis. He was, you know, it was like, and in the call, he talked about how he was really looking forward to his life. You know, he was getting done with the PhD. He was excited about it. And, but after this happened, I found out more details that he had actually been planning the suicide for almost a month.
Oh my God.
And he had gone and bought a gun, and, you know, and this call that he made to me was really his goodbye call. And I was so stunned that I could not sense from that phone call that this is what was going to happen. And it took me for the next whole month. I couldn't sleep. I spent all my nights. There's a grocery store in Illinois called Meijer, and it was open 24 hours. I would spend my nights just roaming around Meijer because it was just so...
Yeah, it was almost like all these incidents, one after another, you know, calling you to find out more, you know, just question.
Yes. So somehow, you know, a year passed by and I started to kind of feel better and, you know, started working on my PhD and it was okay until I would say 1999 when my husband had moved to Philadelphia to do his MBA. And I was still in Illinois wrapping up my PhD. And it was the time for me to move from Illinois to Philadelphia. So what happened was we had rented a truck, one of those U-Hauls, but a fairly big size one because, you know, we had a lot of stuff. And then we had to attach our car behind it. And when we went to get the truck, it turned out that they didn't have an automatic truck. They had a manual or, you know, stick shift. And it was twice the size that we needed. And that was the only truck they had. So we could not get any other truck. We had to get it. And we were worried that we were going to drive all the way from Illinois to Philadelphia in that truck with the car attached behind. But anyway, you know, we were young. We said, okay, it's an adventure. Let's do it. We loaded up the truck and we left. And as we reached Ohio, there was a sudden, unexpected thunderstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really, I mean, the rains were so heavy. And as we were moving on the freeway, the truck hydroplaned.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to move towards oncoming traffic on the other side of the freeway. Basically, it happened so quickly that we lost control of the truck, complete control of the truck. Like, we knew that this was death coming to us. And I still remember those moments when I thought, okay, this is it.
Yeah.
Because we had no control over anything in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to retreat back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So after my mother-in-law had passed away, my husband, who was very attached to her,
mm-hmm.
he basically lost faith
in
God, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he stopped going to temples. He stopped praying. He just, you know, his thing was that why did I lose my mother when she was so young, you know, and she had so much to see and do. And he had a lot of, you know, hopes of spending time with her and, you know, bringing her to the US and traveling with her and everything. So all his dreams were, you know, quashed. And then in 1999, this happened. And in those moments when the truck slipped off the road, we had no choice but to pray.
Yeah.
And we knew we were just going to die.
And we will come back to Smita's story in a few minutes. So please stay with us.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Know what to do, just can't figure out how to fit it all into your busy life? It doesn't have to be that way. Hi, I'm Ellen Baysberg from Seamless Life. Join me every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio and learn the how of conscious living. Let me and my guests help make your life seamless.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
And we are back. Hi, Smita.
Hi, Monica.
Yeah, so then your husband had lost faith in God,
mm-hmm.
but in those moments, you were probably calling for help.
Yes, yes. And the thing was that we couldn't see really what happened because we were kind of stunned. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty incredible how we were saved. Mm-hmm. We knew that we were, there was no way we could stop the truck. Right. And it was moving at a very fast speed.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't apply the brakes. Nothing was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So what happened?
We were so lucky that the medians in Ohio, mm-hmm. on Ohio freeways, are all mud.
Mm-hmm.
And because it... And the truck, basically, as it was moving towards the other side of the freeway into the oncoming traffic...
Mm-hmm.
It stopped. It got stuck in the mud.
Mm.
And it stopped.
Wow. But like such a big truck.
Yes. It was a 26
speed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was stopped. It was like almost the brakes were applied.
Yes. And we sat there the whole night, totally stunned at what we had just experienced.
Mm.
We had come so close to death,
mm-hmm.
and there was a policewoman who finally got us some help, and we got back on the road and, you know, continued with our journey. But mm-hmm. then it was a pretty significant moment.
Yeah, I guess you were shaken.
Totally. So that happened, and then in 2000, my first, my older daughter was born,
mm-hmm.
and I would say about a week before she was born, I started to get some strange kind of premonition,
mm-hmm.
But I thought, first baby, you know, everybody's a little, you
fears
know,
and yeah.
Yeah, worried, you know, you have those normal fears.
Mm-hmm.
My mother also started to get some premonitions.
Mm-hmm.
And she was with me at the time. And she started to get panic attacks.
Mm.
And then we again attributed it to, you know, her daughter having a baby. So she's, you know,
mm-hmm. worried. Yeah.
Worried. And my daughter, you know, I would say on the day that she was supposed to be born, you know, the due date, I started to feel very strong pains and I knew that she was ready to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the hospital, you know, and the doctors there, they checked everything. They said, oh, you're in early labor, sent me back home. But mm-hmm. my pains were horrible. I couldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, we went back to the hospital. Same thing. They sent me back home.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I something was not right. Mm-hmm. You know, I started to feel like the baby's movements were different.
Mm-hmm.
And I became more concerned and worried that everything was not okay. Third day when we went, the doctors checked again, you know. So it was 9th, 10th, 11th. On the 12th when we went, the doctors checked again and they said, oh, you have fever. Mm-hmm. Then they were like, oh, you have an infection. And the next thing we know, they said, okay, it seems like we need to schedule a C-section because you are in advanced labor.
Mm-hmm.
And... So the C-section happened much later because there were so many people in the line ahead of me for C-sections.
Mm-hmm.
And it being a university hospital, you know, and not a private hospital, they couldn't. So by the time the baby came out, she was hardly breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that all the time that I was going there for the past 3 days, I had been in advanced labor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they didn't know.
Yeah, so the baby came out and wasn't breathing well.
Yes, and what had happened was she had something called meconium aspiration, where the baby has the first bowel movement inside the body, mother's mm-hmm. body, and she ingests it. And it is a tar-like substance, so it covers your lungs completely. And in her case, it completely covered her lungs, so she could not breathe. And, you know, in a very sort of, I would say, typical fashion, a day after, the doctors came to me and said, there's nothing we can do to save your child. Mm. And I, at that moment, a switch went on inside me. I said, there is no way this child is going anywhere. Mm. And I'm going to do everything I can to keep this child alive. Mm. And it was almost like in that moment, I made a connection with the universe. And to this day, I remember that connection.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not going to let go of this connection.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes. And pretty soon the baby was moved next door to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. where the doctors took a look and they said, oh, we have to do this life-saving surgery on her. She has to undergo bypass surgery to mm-hmm, save her. Mm-hmm. And it's a very special kind of surgery called ECMO, mm-hmm. where they said, get rid of the meconium from the lungs, but the lungs can get rid of the meconium on their own if they move the breathing on an apparatus outside the body. Mm-hmm. So the lungs did not have to worry about breathing.
Yeah.
It took care of the meconium, and the breathing happened through a separate apparatus. So it was a pretty huge thing, and she could have developed any amount of blood clots, you know. She could have been brain damaged. Now, when this incident, a lot of miracles associated with it.
Yeah.
The chaplain of the children's hospital came to us and said, we want to pray for this baby, and we want mm-hmm. to meet you, a Hindu priest. And we said to him that, you know, it's perfectly fine if you pray. You don't have to find a Hindu
priest.
Your prayers are good enough for us.
Yeah.
But he was persistent. He said, I'm going to pray for her, and I'm going to find you a priest. And it turned out that he found this old card,
mm-hmm.
and he called that number. There was a Swamiji who was, you know, whose business card it was. Mm-hmm. It just so happened that that Swamiji was lecturing in a building next door.
Oh, wow.
And as soon as he was done with this lecture, he came and he blessed her. And then he told us that he was going to send a message he was from Chinmaya Mission.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was going to send a message to the Chinmaya Mission people in India, and he was going to get some things done for Aditi, my older one.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happened, and I thought, wow, this is really interesting that, you know, this
once you made the intention.
Yes. Next thing I saw, my cousin from Texas, who's a pediatrician, and I'm very close to her. I see her walking into the hospital, and I said, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I heard that, you know, the baby was going to go through ECMO, I needed to come here. And so I was really thrilled to see her.
You had all the support.
I had all the support, yeah. So as I was walking into the hospital with her, she stops in the tracks, and I said, what happened? And then she looks at this guy, a doctor, you know, who's walking towards her. And she said, hi, what are you doing here? And he looked at her, what are you doing here? And so she there, and he says, oh, you know what? I am the head of neonatal intensive care unit,
mm-hmm.
which is where Aditi was. He said, I'm the head. It turned out that he was her teacher from Harvard Medical School. And she had known him really well. And so what are the chances that she would meet
Philip? Yeah. So the long story short, short is that you had all the help from the universe. Everyone just came together once you realized your power and made that intention, nothing is going to happen to my baby.
Yes.
So that was a turning moment in your life.
Yes. And then the next day, my aunt, who's a neonatal doctor. She flew in from LA. And until then, I really didn't know what she did. You know, mm-hmm. I just knew she was a kid's doctor. But I didn't know what a neonatologist meant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She came and she took a look. You know, she was there for next 2 or 3 days. So it was really like the universe, you know, got everything together. There were prayers happening all over. All my friends in different parts of the world, they started to pray.
That's
it was incredible.
Huge, yeah.
Yes.
So, Smita, tell me, I mean, of course, you know, this incident shook you, but also gave you, I mean, until now, with all the deaths happening and, mm-hmm. you know, you were shaken to your core. But this incident, it started out as something, I mean, it's about your baby, so it's very
yeah.
scary. But
yeah.
then that faith was restored and something told you that mm-hmm. there is, you know, there is a power beyond
yes.
all of us.
Yes.
And so how did you go researching deep into it and how did it affect the rest of your journey?
Yes. So basically when these miracles happened, literally I saw them as miracles.
Yeah.
I could not ignore them. And for the next few years, I still was very traumatized. But at the same time, I was growing more and more restless. I was still fearful of death and the idea of death. And I came so close to losing my baby. And I said, you know, there is more to this. And I really have to address this fear.
Yes.
And so I had always been attracted to the idea of life after death.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say about 4 years ago or 5 years ago, I decided to kind of go into it. You know, I again put an intention into place that I was going to figure out what death is about
mm-hmm.
and what life after death is about.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is any life after death, you know, this is a huge mystery. So I started my research. I came across Dr. Brian Weiss's books. I started to read them.
Yeah.
And also.
Let's come back after this short break to know about Smita's research and the tools.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings, explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
And we are back. Hi, Smita.
Hi, Monica.
So you were talking about your research. You read Brian Weiss's books. And
yes.
So you knew like that faith came and that mm-hmm. it was like a verification of your own,
yes.
awareness that there is something beyond just yes. this life.
Yes. That, and then interesting things that happened that one year when I really went deep into my research was okay. I happened to attend, session of Upanishads, which are these ancient texts mm-hmm. from India,
yeah.
A commentary on the Vedas. And it just so happened that as I was studying under my guru, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, he actually talked about Kathopanishad, mm-hmm. which is a text that deals with this exact topic of death. What is death and what happens after death? What is the soul? So that particular Upanishad actually touches on all those topics. The answers that I was looking for were supported by that lecture.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened. And then...
So tell us about the tools that helped you and how can you guide our listeners mm-hmm. to recognize their fears and what should they be doing about it and what helped you and how it can help the listeners?
Sure. So I would say that definitely the fact that if you are already a sensitive person and you are you have a degree of awareness, it helps. But even if you are not and you are beginning to sense that there are fears, I would say do not run away from your fears. Mm-hmm. Just sit down quietly and start thinking about what is it that is making you uneasy. And another thing that has helped me a lot is I have been meditating regularly for last several years now.
Mm-hmm.
And not a day goes by when I do not meditate. It's almost like brushing my teeth. If I don't do it, it's part of my life. Yeah.
Yes.
What meditation does is that it really increases your awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And because it puts to rest everything that is around you and you retreat within yourself and you begin to slowly see how your thoughts are forming, what are the sources of those thoughts, where are they coming from? And then you can begin to see where those fears are coming from. If there are any fearful thoughts, where are those coming from? What is the source? And you can also then begin to think about, okay, I need to address this fear. So instead of running away from the fear, you begin to address it. And another way to address it is first the recognition, which... meditation.
It's very important, right? Yes. Awareness is very important.
The second thing is as you become aware, instead of keeping it in your mind, because the mind has this amazing ability to keep around in circles, and actually helps increase your fears sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
You start writing your fears down. So I found journaling to be a really important tool. I write a lot. And ever since I was a young child, I have found that pouring out my feelings, because I always felt a lot.
Yes.
So, the writing bit has been a really important tool for me.
Mm-hmm.
So once I have emptied myself on paper...
So you just let it flow. Whatever is coming up, you just keep dotting it on the paper.
Yes, yes. And sometimes it's just, a small paragraph. Sometimes it's pages of writing.
Yeah, whatever is coming at that time.
Yeah. But, once that happens, you have basically laid out in front of you what... is going on within you. And then you can begin to even see, oh, this is what is going on, you know. And in some ways, writing also cures it because
it's out of your system.
It's out of your system, exactly. So that, and then of course, you know, I have kept myself very open to experiences, and whatever emotions come, I do not run away from them. Mm-hmm. I face them. If I feel like crying in a moment, I cry. I just let the emotions come. And
so you don't resist anything that comes up.
I do not resist anything that comes.
And you accept it?
Yes.
Gracefully, yeah.
Yes. And I think that has helped me understand my own self better, mm-hmm. be more comfortable with myself, and to also accept the fact that it's okay to be who I am, you know. It's okay to have these fears. Mm-hmm. And once you have accepted yourself as you are, you will realize that the fears slowly start leaving you.
Mm-hmm. You have seen that in your own case.
I have seen that in my own case. And of course, you know, reading material, the research material that is out there also helps. Although I would say that, you know, we have to be careful about what the sources of those materials are, you know. Mm-hmm.
Careful in what sense?
Careful in the sense that there's a lot of material out there. Mm-hmm. But then, like, you know, with Dr. Brian Weiss, I'm very comfortable because he was, you know, the head of, department in Yale. And, you know, so he has a really strong background in, I would say, psychology.
I would say even if someone is not very well known, people connect with their own intuition. You know, what is calling for them? What is pulling them?
So you know, I have drawn. I'm not saying that we should keep away, but we should make ourselves.
There should be some discretion.
And then see what works for us. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes.
Because not everything that everyone is saying will work for us.
Sure.
There are things that will work for someone else and some things that work for me. So keeping my mind open, in one of my savers, I actually came across a lady who was a co-volunteer, and we were both chopping vegetables mm-hmm. for this meditation course. And we started to talk. And this is the same year that I'm doing my research.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, you know, this is what I do. I have now started writing a book on near-death experiences. And I was really amazed again at the coincidence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She was visiting from Hawaii, and it just so happened that we were volunteering, you know, chopping vegetables together.
Yeah.
And then I started to talk to her about my research. She mm-hmm. said, oh, I have a manuscript of my book right here. Would you like to go through it? I can lend it to you. And I was so excited, you know. She gave me that manuscript, just gave it to me, completely trusted me with it. And she said, when you're done, just mail it back to me in Hawaii. And that manuscript has hundreds of interviews of people
who have NDE.
Who've experienced NDE. And so, you know, and she herself had experienced NDE 3 times. So it helped me. So I've kept myself open to all this material. Mm-hmm. And what I found is once you put an intention into place, you address your fear or whatever intention it is,
exactly.
The universe will provide you all the tools that will help you overcome those fears.
So I think your intention to get rid of your fears. Or you know, whatever you want in life, once you have that strong intention, universe will start sending you all the help and whatever you need.
Yes, exactly.
That's such a beautiful and a big lesson.
It is, yes. So, as I address my fear of death, and I can say now that I am pretty, it does not get me down like it used to. And for me, one evidence was last year when one of my relatives who I was very close to, mm-hmm. I was able to be with her at the time of her passing.
Wow.
Able to hold her hand, to whisper in her ear as she lay in a coma, in a comatose state.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very beautiful, moving experience. Wow. And to let her see go, there was sadness at her going away, but at the same time, there wasn't that cold, frozen feeling, that numbing feeling that I had felt with every death of a close one before.
Because now you know how beautiful it is. Life continues.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't end here.
Yes, exactly. So that's when I saw how my fear had been addressed.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much, Smita. There is so much to talk to you about, and we have to do another show with you.
Sure.
But I'm so grateful to you for sharing your personal journey and helping us all, showing us all how we can deal with our fears. I'm really, really grateful. I learned a lot, and I'm hoping our audience as well enjoyed and learned.
Thank you for having me on the show, Monica.
Thank you, Smita. Thank you all. Very grateful. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. And we will meet again next Tuesday morning, 8 a.m.